Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is prime time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, the metaverse, a virtual world where you can connect, socialize, and interact online. It's gained quite a bit of attention over the past few months after Facebook announced a rebrand from Facebook to Meta, also announcing an increase in focus and investment on the metaverse. As a result, we've seen property prices skyrocket in the metaverse as well. And in November last year, Tokens.com, a publicly traded company in Canada, announced that it had made a significant investment into the metaverse, into Decentraland, more specifically its Fashion Street, for about $2.5 million. So who better to help us understand what exactly it means to invest in property in the metaverse than the CEO of Tokens.com himself, Andrew Kegel. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rachel.
It's our pleasure to have you with us. So, Andrew, perhaps you can talk through the process of investing in the metaverse and this transaction that you made last November. I know that there's been another one announced more recently, but let's start off there. The November transaction, $2.5 million. At the time, Decentraland declared this to be the largest metaverse land acquisition to date.
Yeah, and I think it is still the largest land acquisition to date within Decentraland, although there's been some other larger purchases in Sandbox. But our perspective is as follows. We see that there's going to be more and more visitor traffic into the various metaverses. And we see that growth already happening with the different events and festivals that are occurring in the metaverse. So from our perspective, this is the next iteration of social media and gaming. So when we're buying this real estate, yes, it seems like it's just something virtually there and how can you ascribe value to it? But what we're really doing is we're pre-purchasing advertising space or space for whatever we want to do with it that's going to be accessible and have a lot of visitors on it. So specific to that property, it was in the fashion district of Decentraland. As you may have read, fashion is a really huge area in the metaverse. Every brand on the planet, you know, whether it's Chanel, Gucci, Nike, Adidas, they're all going to the metaverse because they see that these environments are gaining traction and are attracting more visitors. What we have done is we're trying to be the virtual landlord for these stores so they can come to us and say, we would like to establish a presence, a brand, or something in the metaverse, and they would come and work with us to do that.
So how does it work then? You're essentially a virtual landlord for these brands.
Yeah, so we're having conversations with several real world brands who want to do things like open up virtual stores in the metaverse. And they would like for us to help them design those stores, which typically are just a replica of what their real physical store would look like. They're also coming to us and say, what else can we do there that would be interactive for visitors? Things like NFT drops. So we're speaking to one of the top shoe companies in the world about creating NFTs of their shoes that people through their avatars in the metaverse can buy and wear, they can store them, and they can resell them. And that's part of the fun and what's making this appealing to people.
So can you talk us through the structure, though? How does it work? I mean, you're charging them. I mean, there's a rental fee, a development fee, but this is all in the virtual world. How do you even start to put a price on property or even rental prices within the metaverse?
Yeah, that's a great question. And a question we discuss internally every single day, because there isn't like a mall across the street or something we can point to and say, what do they charge over there? We're really creating history. Like, what do these lease agreements look like? What do you charge a company to develop their store online? But very much how every single corporation today needs to have a website. I believe within 24 months, every single major corporation is going to need to have a storefront or presence in the metaverse. And so we're just helping to facilitate that. But you're right. It's not very clear just yet because we're creating history here. We're really defining what these leases and development projects look like. And we're taking hints from the real world. So we're using normal lease contracts. We're taking normal development contracts and sort of working within those parameters and boundaries to come up with things for the metaverse world.
And obviously, it's still early days for the metaverse world, but what kind of footfall could a retailer potentially expect from a position within the metaverse or within Fashion Street and Decentraland is your properties?
Yeah, so we are planning in conjunction with Decentraland a major fashion show that takes place March 24th to 27th. So it's a multi-day event. And that is going to attract, I think, several hundred thousand unique visitors over the course of the week. And we think there's going to be lots of brands there. We're planning, you know, after parties with DJs and, you know, different types of merchandise that can be given out to people that visit and all kinds of very cool immersive experiences. And so if you think about an event, online event, that's going to attract several hundred thousand people, as a brand, especially in the fashion space, you want to find a way to be there. And that might be something from having, you know, a fashion show of your own merchandise. Mm-hmm. It could be just having signs and brand placement in various places. It could be hosting an after party. And so we're having all of these discussions with groups right now, and not all of them are from the fashion world. We're having conversations with some luxury automobile makers as well, who can use this as a platform to maybe display new cars or talk about their new electric technology. The possibilities are endless, but really we're trying to replicate that experience that people might not be able to do in real life because of geographic mm-hmm. or other things that could stop them from doing that. We're trying to replicate that experience as close as we can in the virtual world.
To what extent do you think the pandemic has escalated the development that you've seen within the metaverse?
It has definitely played a large role. One thing that is undebatable is that people have an innate need to socialize, to interact. And if you're not in a place through the pandemic where you have the ability to interact with people because the world shut down, museums, restaurants, clubs, travel, really were not available for a lot of people. And it's still sort of where the future goes, we're not sure. But a lot of these people turned online and were able to share in some of these experiences with people from around the world. So it's geographically agnostic, and that you can go there and share in things like a museum, a concert, all different types of things that you might engage in real life. But it satisfies, I think, that people's psychological need to interact and socialize.
Andrew, can you share with us what kind of trends have we seen for property prices within the metaverse? I mean, I've read a number of articles and various statistics, but you're directly involved within this. What kind of price escalations have you seen within the metaverse?
Well, I read something that last year, the value of land in Decentraland went up by over 5,000%. So there's certainly the prices are going up. And Rachel, to explain to you why, a place like Decentraland is got a finite amount of property available. And so it's divided into districts, but the city is set and does not grow. And so as you can imagine, today you might have several hundred thousand people that are members of a place like Decentraland, but in a few years, you might have several million. And so having that opportunity to pre-purchase the land today in anticipation of people coming in and utilizing and more visitor traffic is very attractive to people like us who want to be virtual landlords. And we're looking ahead and saying, this is going to be far more valuable in the future when there are millions of people on this platform. I gave the analogy once, which I think might be interesting for some of your viewers. When you're scrolling through Facebook or Instagram, every fifth scroll or so, you're served with an ad. Imagine you could go back to those platforms like Facebook or Instagram in the past when they only had 100,000 users and pre-purchase those blocks. You could use them as advertising space or anything else. We're making a similar analysis here to say, this is allowing us to pre-purchase what we can use as advertising space in a far more immersive way than the type of social media we use today before they have millions and millions and billions of users, which I think will happen in the next 2 to 5 years.
And I know that you've just made another purchase in its Superworld, on the Superworld platform. Can anybody buy property in the metaverse? How does it work?
Yeah, I mean, anybody can buy property there. You have to do the research. They all have unique features. And you can go to other NFT-type platforms like OpenSea, or even right on the Decentraland website, there's an area called Marketplace, where people can list properties they have for sale. These virtual worlds have their own economic platforms that they exist in with their own currencies. And so when you go there, you have to create a wallet and convert your fiat dollars into that of the local currency in order to transact. There's a little bit of a complexity to it, but it's certainly achievable if you want to put in the time. Or you can buy tokens.com in the public markets, and we own a substantial amount of land in the metaverse.
And that said, making that $2.5 million investment, that's quite a hefty investment, as you mentioned, the largest. What made you decide to just go straight for it?
Well, we think that property has a tremendous amount of value. And what's not reported there is that it's actually a very large property. It's an estate. We bought close to 120 parcels. Each parcel is equivalent to 50 feet squared. And so when you add it all up, that's a significantly large parcel. So yes, very large in absolute terms, but when you look at it in terms of the value of each parcel, I think we got a very good deal. Mm-hmm. And as you continue to read, it's in the fashion district, as you continue to read about all these fashion brands that are happening, our vision is that we want to create that land that we purchased into the Fifth Avenue or Rodeo Drive of the metaverse. So a place where people that are looking to shop can go and congregate for the very same reasons you might go to a certain street in Singapore, because you know that all of the retailers that you're interested in are there. That is our vision, is to do that for visitors that want to shop in the metaverse, but also for retailers that will come to us and rent out our land.
In the real world, often say that when it comes to purchasing a property, especially here in Singapore, and I know this echoes across the world, it's all about location, location, location. In a virtual world, is it the same thing?
It absolutely is. It's all about location. It depends on who your neighbors are. Mm-hmm. It depends on how much visitor traffic there is. So something that is located downtown, which has just naturally more visitor traffic, is going to be more expensive to buy than something that would be in the outskirts of the city. And very similar to Singapore, it's geographically limited. This, it cannot grow. It is set. That is part of the algorithm there. And so the properties have a scarcity value. And so within each neighborhood, like the fashion district, there's only so much property available. There's a museum district, there's Crypto Valley. And so you want to go in there if these are things you're interested in and buy up this property. But absolutely, as I say all the time, it's about location, location, location.
What would you say, though, are some of the challenges or risks that investors should be aware of when it comes to investing in property in the metaverse?
Yeah. So I would say that the biggest risk is that, very much like the early days of social media, Facebook ended up being, a really big winner in that space with several billion users. Certainly, there are several types of social media out there. There's Instagram, there's TikTok, there's Snapchat, and many others. In the metaverse, I think we'll see a similar phenomenon in that when I look sort of in 2-3 years down the road, we will have several metaverses, and they will all appeal to various different types of people, meaning they'll find their own niche. Some will be music and art-based. Some might be more commerce-based. Some might be educationally based. We will see something similar happen in the metaverse, but the risk that potential investors have today is choosing the right metaverse. Because what you don't want to happen, if you recall things like Friendster or MySpace, mm-hmm. which are, startup social media companies, 15 years ago that just didn't end up making it.
That's a great point. And that leads me on to my next question. How do you know that you're investing in the right space when it comes to the metaverse? Because this is still such a new area for many people. What do you look for?
So we invest in various metaverses. We have investments across 7 different platforms right now. And we look for things like technology, the funding, how well backed it is, the quality of the people running it. There's all the similar things that you might look at when you're thinking about opening up a store in a new city. There's going to be differences between Miami, London, LA, or Kiev. So we look at all of those factors to see how fast is it growing, what type of events are they having, what type of visitor traffic are they attracting. So we have a high degree of confidence that where we are buying property will allow us to find people to rent it out. We already have a list of people that want to rent out from us, but there's always a risk in any investment, and we're cognizant of that.
Your big investment obviously is in retail. You've got this other investment in Superworld. What are some of the key trends that you see when it comes to property investment within the metaverse? Is it just retail and consumer education? What are some of the other sectors that you're eyeing?
So we like education, and education is a really big deal, I think, in the metaverse. And it's not just education of sort of younger kids. especially during the pandemic where remote learning has become so popular. But let's consider things like higher learning. You could have, you know, a top medical professor teaching students who are scattered geographically all over the world and have a virtual heart or body that you can practice operating on, you can look at from various angles. Let's think about things like work health and safety, where you could have an automotive plant or a power plant or something else that's sensitive with respect to its operations and its training. You could replicate that in the metaverse and use it as a tool to train employees under different types of adverse situations. And so these are some of the use cases that we haven't even discussed yet. I think what you'll see this year as the top trend in the metaverse will be gaming. There is a migration happening right now from traditional gaming, video gaming, to gaming that takes place on blockchain technology, which will occur in various metaverses. And that's a massive market already. If you think about the number of people who are playing video games around the world, to migrate that over. And the games are just more immersive and they can be very rewarding.
Andrew, this is absolutely fascinating.
A lot of people think the metaverse is a fad. It's not a fad. You read every day new companies that are looking into this. You know, every major company in the world is trying to figure out a strategy to be there in a similar way to how they had to figure out how to deal with social media. And before that, even how to deal with the internet. And just like every company has a web page today, in the next few years, all of these companies will also have some type of a presence in the metaverse. And I think it's going to be really interesting and exciting to watch that develop.
Okay. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us this evening. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. With pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Andrew Kegel, CEO of tokens.com. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.